Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You will drain it.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I'm going to get my stitches out after this. I'm very excited.
Yeah, your stitches that you
my
had for
stitches.
You had the stitches for the weekend. How did it go?
Honestly, it was fine.
Have you ever had stitches before?
I've had stitches twice. Once was in my lip when I fell down the stairs when I was a little kid.
No,
that was my head. On my head. And then once in my lips when I was bullied.
Oh no.
And he cracked my lip open.
With a punch?
With a seesaw.
What? Like a push?
It's hard to, okay. He was using,
Sorry,
although he did, he has punched
triggering.
Me before. No, it's fine. It's funny, sort of, in retrospect.
Absolutely fine. In retrospect,
just like the tumble I took on Wednesday is funny in retrospect. We were rolling like basketballs down, like seesaw, when you make it, you know, perfectly diagonal,
yes.
And then you roll a basketball down it.
Yeah.
And then I would catch it and then pick up the seesaw and then roll it back down to him.
Yeah.
And then he rolled it back down to me. And when I reached down to pick
slammed
up the basketball,
it.
He goes, slammed it in my face and then like laughed at me. His mom worked at the elementary school, too, and she claimed that it was an accident. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yikes. Ouch.
It was awful. His mom also made me eat an entire thing of ketchup once. That was his weirdest bullying thing. I've told you this. The ketchup thing?
Yeah.
I feel like I tell that story a lot.
His mom bullied you, too.
His mom was a bully. So he was a bully. I was bullied by both of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she made me eat, like, a cup of ketchup once with a spoon.
Just because?
Because he squeezed it into my cafeteria tray when I was, like, it was hamburger day. And I squeezed a little ketchup into my little reservoir. And then he took the ketchup thing and then filled it up, like, overflowing.
Yeah.
And then she came up and was like, Bobby Finger, how dare you waste food? And then she came, and then she left, and then she came back with a spoon and told me to eat it all. And I was like, I didn't do that. Ryan did it.
In retrospect, it's funny.
I was like, I didn't do that. Ryan did it. And she was like, I was watching you, Bobby. I saw you do that. And I was like, what? Yeah, it was really crazy.
I feel like this is almost too dramatic to keep on the podcast.
No, it's funny. It's perfectly funny. We needed some opening banter, too. So why not give you something hilarious? Where else are you going to get a story about?
Some childhood trauma on the side of your celebrity comedy.
Minor childhood trauma. We need to be talking about sort of funny stuff anyway, because this episode kind of gets a little dark.
It's a little dark.
But that's just because things are happening to the extent that we can no longer really ignore them. So we need to address them and then move on to...
Just like Wendy. It's actually funny because it's like us addressing Wendy was like Wendy addressing Wendy. It was like, when will she address Wendy? Is Wendy ever going to address herself? I mean, there is something so truly deranged and meta about Wendy having a show in which she talks about celebrities doing stuff, and then she's a celebrity and she does stuff, and then it's like, is Wendy going to address it? I hope we never get to that point, Bobby, I gotta say.
Oh, yeah, me too. We never will.
I don't think we ever will, but like...
Let's not worry about that. We never will.
It makes me so anxious because it really does speak to, like, you know, I mean, how do you make your fame talking about other celebrities and then you become one? Then what happens to you?
Yeah.
Like, it's like Andy Cohen, like, how... he really, I mean, this is totally different, but he dove into his having a baby because he had to, because there was no way that he was going to avoid talking about that he was having a baby, essentially.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. That's different because that's different. Just like very wholesome and positive. Yes.
That was a good like, one. But like, yeah, like if he had done something bad, like he would also have to address that too. And that's what's happening to Wendy, essentially. Yeah.
I mean, if Josh got some Jersey girl pregnant, I would talk about it on the podcast.
No, you wouldn't.
I'd be like, look, I know that... We're all talking about this, but you
no
know.
One's talking.
No, I'd be like, the ring is still on my finger. And then, like, you would applaud me.
I know. Well, so, yeah.
That's the last time we'll be laughing about this Wendy story. So, this all goes
so
back.
It's so not funny. It's so not funny. It's
and
not
even
funny.
Though we have all of this information that we didn't have before, or confirmations that we didn't have before, we still don't know everything. So
we barely know anything, I feel like. I feel like everything is a new from left field. It's just who knows what's going on.
Yeah,
here,
and
to be honest.
And the Page Six stories and the Daily Mail stories jump to a lot of conclusions regarding the grave disease stuff. So but or at least make suggestions that the illness stuff, the Graves' disease stuff, was entirely exaggerated. And it's all
she could be,
because of the husband.
She could have Graves' disease
both could be
and
right.
be an alcoholic. Like, she could have both issues. I mean, I think like, clearly, like, she was away from the show for so long that it was so much more than sickness. I think mm-hmm. it felt like something bigger. And we had all this background information about her husband's girlfriend, and mm-hmm. it didn't feel like something that was just a sickness, so there was a darkness there, you know?
Right, so let's refresh what we haven't talked about on the podcast in a long time. So Wendy Williams, who is back on her show, we talked
well,
about how she came back
now
and was like,
again.
I'm in that? A, well, she's on hiatus now, but yeah. sort of, no one knows how long it's going to be, but she came back a few weeks ago, we talked about it, and she said she was living in a halfway house, that she was struggling with addiction. But you know what? She's still married to her husband, and she's powering through this. She's, like, working on her recovery. This is all great. It's positive.
It was the weirdest – I have to just say, it was the weirdest tone shift to have her go from, like, being very open and very humble. And mm-hmm. then as soon as she started talking about her husband, it all went away. And she became kind of this, like, weird cipher. And she was, like – and had all of this kind of, like, attitude and kind of, like, defensive – vibe where it was like mm-hmm. she was so open, she was so forthcoming, she was so honest, and then all of a sudden when she mentioned her husband, it became, don't you talk about my husband unless if I'm not wearing this ring, then we talk. And it was like, what happened? Like, what's going on with you? It was just so strange to me to watch mm-hmm. that happen.
So apparently the husband, Kevin Hunter, who we've talked about on the past in a less serious note, because a couple years ago or a year and a half ago, the Daily Mail sort of notoriously went to the house that he apparently resides in with his mistress, this woman named Sharina Hudson, and found that both of their names were on the mailbox. And so it was like, wow, he lives in this house with this other woman just, you know, a few miles away from his home that he shares with Wendy
and
Williams.
What we thought was funny was the Daily Mail having this, like, insane investigation in which they uncovered a mailbox. You know, like, that was, like, truly what was absurd about that whole situation.
Uh-huh. So it turns out this woman, Sharina, gave birth last week, either last Sunday or last Monday, and according to all the sources, it's not confirmed that Kevin Hunter is the father, but it's, like, definitely assumed, and that helps explain a lot of things. And so after that, Wendy goes on the show. She's wearing a ring on her ring finger, but it's not her engagement ring. It's a different ring. Then she was spotted leaving the halfway house where she's living, not wearing any ring. So the thing is like, oh, she's only wearing it for the TV show. She apparently relapsed and was found drunk and started drinking again. And so she's, you know, back on the recovery train. And it's incredibly sad. I mean, it's just, it's all just really dark and sad all the way around. However you feel about everyone involved, like, this, it's just an addiction story that sucks.
But
and
I also just feel like
about.
It's this husband of hers is not a good guy. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like there's just everything that's going on. Like, Wendy is who she is, and Wendy's not perfect, but like the situation that she is in is like not a great situation. I mean, her husband was like picking her up and dropping her off from this halfway house, like, and whether or not she does need to be at a place like that, just having that, like picking my wife up from like her different house and bringing her to work where she probably shouldn't be anyways, and like dropping her back, it just felt like really bad.
Yeah, and their relationship is I don't know. They're both so tied up together professionally in a way that I think makes the personal stuff harder to break, because it's like he depends on her for his income. She depends on him for income, not because she's not her own personality, just because she's always done it. He's always been her manager.
Right. And he wasn't just like a hard thing to break. He's another producer on the show. He's, you know, he literally is like her second, her right hand man. He is. Whenever people on the show, I supposedly, whenever people need to talk to Wendy, they have to go through him. That is literally one of the rules on the show. And one of the reasons, many reasons why, remember all those like Page Six things that were like, the people on the show are happy that Wendy's not there. Like, what if everyone's like so happy that she's not there. And it feels like that was one of the reasons. I mean, I think she truly, like, he truly creates a barrier between her and everything else.
Yeah. So, you know, the Daily Mail has all this reporting about, you know, how she was found after getting news of the birth. And, I don't know, she checked out of her sober home. It was in Long Island City. Then she was found somewhere else. She had been drinking. It's, I don't know. That's what's happening now. The show is, I believe, on hiatus.
It is.
But it's again one of those sort of like, questionable hiatuses where it's like, who knows when it's going to come back.
Well, she was gone for a week. They extended it like a month. She had all those special hosts. Then she came back. Now she's gone again. So it is a little bit, it's a lot, basically.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So that's the Wendy Williams update. Speaking of like kind of darkness, we haven't talked about Colton Haynes in a while, and he's recently like fully opened up. And I think this was two people specifically. It's not even just people aggregating something. Colton Haynes has said that he's just been like struggling with alcohol addiction for like a decade, that he's just been drinking pretty much constantly for 10 years, and he's finally telling people about it. And he has been sober for 6 months, and that's a really big deal. Last time I think we talked about him in depth, it was because of his breakup with Jeff Lethem, the florist guy that he married, sort of iconically from that iconic engagement to the wedding to then like the really sudden divorce. We always wondered what was going on because it was very strange. And I think we said that we thought it was something involving Jeff, but it turns out it seems like it was, you know, all part of Colton's struggle, and how his life was kind of falling apart. And when his mom died of cirrhosis of the liver, so presumably alcohol related. So I think it's just, it's just been really sad. But now he's talking about it in a way that he hasn't been talking about it. Oh, he told Attitude, not People. But he gave him a little...
the cover of a magazine called Attitude Magazine.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So that's what's up with Colton, but he's trying to do better. He said that he was, did you read the part where he said that he was fired from a TV comedy the first day he got on set because he got there and they said he looked dead in the eyes. And he was like, I looked dead in the eyes. So that Colton sucks. Colton is 6 months sober, so that's good news, and that's great. I don't know. It's good to know what happened, and people are just being more open about their addictions lately. In related news to Colton, who spoke to Attitude about his addiction issues, Nico Tortorella has decided to release a memoir, and this truly is it's no laughing matter, really, because they talk about, you know, addiction issues and sexuality and gender fluidity. But I just love that this is the most Nico Tortorella way of announcing anything. First of all, they told People exclusively, and People's lead is Nico Tortorella is known for being an open book. And now it just won't be figuratively speaking. And then they just watch. I just love how, like, Nico can't win. Nico does so much that it just goes off the rails. Listen to this statement. I mean, let's be real. Who the fuck writes a memoir at 30? Yeah, I did that, Tortorella tells People. But it's actually not entirely about me. The stories of sex, sexuality, gender identity and expression, relationships, family, addiction, celebrity, and most importantly, love, all of it is you. All of it is fluid. And then you're like, okay, cool. I'm totally behind you, Nico. I get what you're doing. And then this happens. We are at the precipice of big changes towards love and inclusivity in major ways, they continue. The future is fluid, but so is the past. We as human beings have always been fluid in some capacity, our journeys perpetually in motion, ready to bend and shift when necessary. It is precisely in that space where the truth resides, the real magic. So Nico's like attempting an Elizabeth Gilbertian moment. I would say a little unsuccessfully. Wow. Will I read the memoir if it's free?
I mean, the book hasn't come out yet, so we don't really know how successful this is.
I read the book? Yes. If you are the publicist for Space Between, Explorations of Love, Sex, and Fluidity, just send it my way, because I'll read the whole thing, cover to cover.
It's like eat, pray, love, whoever.
Eat, pray, love. Okay, cool.
Eat, pray, love, anyone. Okay.
Eat, pray, love, everything. What is next? Let's move on from this, like, darkness and identity stuff.
Oh, Emrata tweeted about the rent thing, as you remember. Emrata, the model. Whatever her name is, she was not paying rent, or her husband was not paying rent on his Soho loft, and it was this big deal, and everybody was mad. So she tweeted this. Husband is 38, not 31. He's an independent movie producer, so people thinking he's rich is real nice, but not based in fact. He was raised in the neighborhood he lives in now. Both of his parents are artists who were priced out of their homes in downtown New York. I moved in with him a year ago. I'm proud he's fighting for the good fight against a real estate conglomerate that bought the building he lives in for $40 million and has continued to spread misinformation on its tenants in order to profit. New York City has changed so much, and it's a shame that people who work in creative fields are being moved out of the city. That's interesting. So there, she's saying that this kind of like release of all this kind of like he's not paying his rent is propaganda by this yes. conglomerate that wants him out so they can charge high rent, which
well, that's
I
happening
totally
everywhere
understand.
In New York City. So I don't doubt any of this, but I do have a hard time making this guy the face of, you know, the problems with gentrification, you know?
100%. You're right. And this is an easy get for them to be like, let's just like leak some stuff to the New York Post yes. and like get
and
this
I,
guy
and I
out
don't
of here,
believe the thing is like the people being priced out of neighborhoods they've lived in for generations is a problem. And there needs to be a solution to that. But this guy isn't being priced out of anywhere. This guy can afford Manhattan.
No.
So.
Right. Exactly. And now him and his like very rich model wife, like they're both fine.
And,
like they can afford.
And also like
apartment.
Usual, just because these people have a point doesn't mean that they're expressing their point in a way that's helping anything. You know, like there are better ways right. to go about this yes. than the way that Sebastian Bear McClard is going about this. And Emily Ratajkowski. Yeah.
All of Oh No They Didn't agrees with you. I was like, I wonder what the sentiment on Oh No They Didn't is about this. And they're all like, yeah, fuck you, get
but
out
that,
here. And now they're talking about their rents, which is cute because they're like sharing information about their rents.
That is, yeah. So that's Emrata. That brings me to my game. Lindsay, you don't even know what the game is, but we're
going
to play it.
Wait,
here.
The game is going
you know
here?
Because the game is called Rata or Nata.
No, it's not.
The game is called.
This is what you chose to write a game about?
The game is called Rata or Nata. And it's me scrolling through our Instagram, describing some photos and captions. And you're going to tell me, is that Rata or is that Nata?
Stop. Stop.
Let's start with an easy one. A photo of Emrata on a boat, drinking wine, showing off her butt during golden hour. Captioned, living my life like it's golden. Rata or Nata?
Nata.
No, that's Rata.
Fuck.
That's Rata. Next up.
I hate this game. I've never looked at her Instagram.
Yeah, that's why it's fun. Next up, a photo of Emrata holding the leg of a nude male statue. Captioned, always loved this photo that at Live and Call took of me in Rome, but never posted it. So here you go. Rata or Nata?
Rata.
Nada. It's actually in Paris, not Rome. Yeah, sorry.
Wait, this is a tricky game. I don't like this game because I've seen that picture. This is too tricky. I don't like this game.
We're doing
this
it.
Is manipulative.
Here we go. It's a photo of, it's a video of the Palms Casino kind of emerging out of a cloud of fog. Vegas, baby, introducing the new Palms. Hashtag unstatus quo. Hashtag Palms LV. Hashtag Palms partner. Rata or Nata?
Rata.
Rata, correct. You got it right.
Because she was in that promotional video
yes,
with Rita Ora. Bye.
Exactly. A photo of Emrata in a white crop top looking at the camera, captioned, a brunette white lady emoji. Rata or Nata?
Rata.
Nada. The caption is a hand waving emoji.
Fuck you.
The caption is a hand waving.
I should have guessed what I should have guessed this. This is a troll. I hate this.
A photo of Emrata smiling at the camera in a black polka dot dress captioned, "Hi, yellow wave emoji."
That's gotta be Rada.
That's Rada. You got it. See, you got
it's
it.
It's gotta be Rada.
Okay, a black photo of Emrata leaning on Sebastian Bear McLeod at some kind of art gallery with the caption, "Lollipop emoji." Rada or Nada?
That's Nada.
That's Nada. You got it right. It's a black and white photo of Emrata leaning on Sebastian Bear McLeod at some kind of art gallery, but the caption is BB.
Like, I'm going to get it. The problem is now it's just a, now it's just 50%.
It's 50-50.
It's 50-50. This is a game of 50-50.
50-50. Here we go. A photo of her and Sebastian Bear McLeod at dinner staring lovingly at each other, captioned, "Yellow heart emoji."
What? Rada.
Rada, you got it right. All right, all right. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Okay. I hate this game.
Then a video.
This game took you, I just want to let everyone know, this game took time, and then it took extra time to finish.
Yeah. A video of Emrata in the backseat of what looks like an Uber dancing to Boot Up, and it's captioned, "Still feeling Boot Up? Probably because I am Boot Up. Thanks, at LMI." Rada or Nada?
Nada.
Nada, correct. I made that entire thing up. The actual video that inspired was a video of Emrata dancing to Thank You Next while applying makeup in a double mirror, captioned, "Really still my anthem. Thanks, Ariana Grande." It's really still my anthem. Okay.
Are we done yet?
No, there's so many more.
End it soon.
A photo of Emrata in a silver cowboy coat and a silver sequin fringed bustier and a black cowboy hat and big old Dallas curls.
Yes.
Captioned, "Giddy up, kiss emoji, horse emoji."
Nada.
Nada, right. The caption is actually, "Yeehaw, stars emoji, thanks Texas."
No. I've seen that photo, yeehaw, but now it's just thanks, a guessing Texas. Game.
Okay.
There cannot be that many more.
A photo of her butt captioned, "Peach emoji."
That's gotta be Rada.
That's Rada. You gotta be Rada. Okay.
That's gotta be Rada.
Gotta be Rada is good merch.
There's nothing
merch.
More Rada
gotta
than
be
that.
Gotta be Rada would be good merch. Okay.
Why hasn't there been a picture of her bathing suit that very barely covers her vagina?
Hold on. A selfie captioned, quote, "Found my sun emoji." Rada or Nada?
Rada.
Nada. It's a selfie captioned, "Holding onto that Mexico tan, stars emoji." Okay.
Oh my god.
A photo of her topless holding her boobs captioned, quote, "Can't decide which at inamorata woman swimsuit to wear." Rada or Nada?
That's Rada.
It's Nada. It's a photo of her topless holding her boobs captioned, "Alien emoji."
No, that doesn't. This is the worst game ever written.
Here we go.
You've written some terrible games.
A photo of Emrata in bed on the phone captioned, "Business in bed." Rada or Nada?
Nada.
Rada. That's very Rada. Okay. A photo of her in a white
Everything
bikini.
Everything here is listen, very Rada. Listen.
A photo of her in a white bikini that only barely covers her labia, captioned, "By 2018, Rada or Nada?"
Rada.
Nada. It's a red bikini. Okay, that only
no,
barely
I
covers
hate
her
this
labia.
Game. We're done with this
two
game.
More,
we
two
have
more,
done this game.
Two more.
No.
Two more.
Just one more. No, you get one more. You get one more.
Okay. A photo of her drinking Babe Rosé out of a can with a straw, leaning on the Empire State Building, captioned, "Attack of the 50-foot Emrata. I'm so excited to share with you guys that I am now part of at Drink Babe, star emoji, consciously complete with my good friend, wine visionary, and fellow entrepreneur at the Fat Jewish is an actual dream. Watch out for powerful billboards like this one to take over your hometown." Rada or Nada?
That's Rada.
That's Rada. You got it right. Wow. Ding, you probably ding, got about that's... a 50. Good job.
Yeah, that's the likelihood of me just guessing.
It's great. That's great, Rada or Nada.
I love when we have games that include little to no skill, like that one.
Yeah, it's really good. Lindsay, we talked a lot about Meghan and supporting Meghan on this podcast today because of this royal mess. And I just want to say, another way you can support her is to buy Everlane clothes because she loves Everlane.
Well, you're also supporting us.
Well, number one, you're supporting us. Number two, you're supporting Meghan. What is your favorite Everlane lately? Again, I'm still wearing the bomber jacket. I've been carrying the toad around more just because it matches the bomber jacket pretty well.
The toad.
I've stopped using my big old Renew coat because it's gotten a little warmer.
Right, so I'm going to switch over to my silk.
And I just do my linen. I love my linen. I'm back on my linen.
Yeah, I have my classic box silk shirt. I got to get them all ready for spring.
I love that I'm getting closer and closer and closer to my goal of draping myself in linen in 24 hours of the day.
It's true. Like, literally, I'm also getting near... I have a lot of linen in my
wardrobe. And thanks to Everlane, it's affordable because they only make premium essentials using the finest materials without traditional markups. They want you to know what you're paying for and why. They tell you your real costs and are radically transparent about every step in their process. Their clothes look better. They cost less. They last longer. We know from experience. We tell you about it all the time. Their prices are 30 to 50% lower than traditional retailers. And their essentials are exactly what they should be. They're simple. They're stylish. And they're made from high-quality materials. Right now, you can check out our personalized collection at everlane.com/who. You can see everything we buy, not counting the stuff we buy on our own because we do spend our own money on this. Plus, you'll get free shipping on your first order. That's everlane.com/who, W-H-O, everlane.com/who. Lindsay, what's your, like, morning routine?
It's getting better. I'm not very good at routines, so I'm working on making one. Like, getting out of my bed, like, eat breakfast, like... whatever. You know what I just got that is helping me, I think? I got a Fitbit, and now my Fitbit, like, shames me into having a routine, which I appreciate.
Don't Fitbit say, like, get up.
It's like, move around. Like, you haven't done anything, you bitch. Like, it's fun.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Well, my routine mostly just involves, like, Java at certain points
right,
of the day.
Right, right.
But it's easy to not have a routine during the winter because it's so miserable.
Right,
now
right.
It's spring, so you're like looking for a reason to have a good routine. And Care of gives you an extra boost this season, whether you're looking for more energy, better sleep, to maintain stress, or something else to help you feel your healthiest. Care of's fun online quiz asks you about your diet, your health goals, your lifestyle choices. It only takes 5 minutes. It's actually really fun. And then it tells you, like, if you need enough protein, if you're getting enough fiber, if you're getting enough good fats. And then it helps you find the supplements that you specifically need to be your healthiest. Care of delivers daily vitamin and supplement packs, along with protein and more, all customized to your recommendations, so you're only taking what you really need. And you're like working out your spring routine. You get personalized Care of subscription boxes sent right to your door every month with little daily packs. I personally like how cute that cute little box is that you pull the vitamins out. It makes me feel like I've accomplished something.
It does, because you can see as time progresses, you're like doing more of the vitamins, you're taking them to go, you're actually actively engaging with this.
Just grab and go. It's really fun. They also offer protein powders that are available in individual packets for on the go, and tubs personalized for your fitness goals. And you can track your progress with the Care of app and then earn rewards when you remember to take your vitamins. Or like if your Fitbit doesn't do all that for you, I don't know. For 50% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter WHO50. That is 50% off your first Care of order. Go to takecareof.com and enter WHO50. This is just like starting the show with sad stuff really just like fucked up the mood of this. We need to move on to something funnier, more classically hooey, like maybe Tori Spelling promoting Little Bites on Instagram via her children. Yes, the muffins that are loaded with sugar that she calls healthy.
I loved these muffins as a kid.
It's so funny. They're like those muffins that prepackaged bread with a really long shelf life that's always moist really freaks me out, but they're really good.
So good. They're so good. And like, you know they're not healthy because I thought they were so good. Like, I know they're not
they're
healthy
delicious.
Because I thought they were delicious.
Of course they're unhealthy.
Yeah.
But her caption is, it's a carousel of all of her kids like eating little bites, feeding each other little bites, like in a backpack with little bites poking out of the back of it. And it says, this mama five find snack time a balancing act between pleasing my kiddos and feeling good as a parent about what I'm feeding them. Hashtag ad. Thank you at Little Bite Snacks for being yummy and kiddo approved. My littles heart the chocolate chip muffins, blueberry muffins, and strawberry yogurt muffins. While this mama bear is great, God, using all the terminology that Instagram mommies use, kiddos and mama bear. While this mama bear is grateful that hashtag love little bites has no high fructose or corn syrup. What? And is made with real ingredients like strawberries, blueberries, and bananas. P.S. They are easy and mess-free for little hands and great on the go. What is your kiddo's fave flavor? Hashtag mom win. And then all the comments
little
are
hands.
Like, Tori, they're not healthy. Tori, stop. Tori, just because they don't have high fructose or corn syrup doesn't mean they're healthy. And she's like, I don't care. I got paid.
Right. I mean, it's also kind of like, mommy shaming in our era, in our world, is like truly terrible, but it is weird for her to be like the healthiest snack. I mean, you know, they gave her that, the wording and everything. I'm very curious how these muffins have no like high fructose.
Well, they don't have high fructose corn syrup because they just use cane sugar.
Right, they're
That's
highly
it.
Processed. They're like it's, highly processed.
They have a ton of sugar. They just don't have high fructose corn syrup. She didn't even use the right word for it. She said high fructose or corn syrup, and it's just high fructose corn syrup. This is all wrong. It's very funny.
I mean, these, so they have seven, sorry, I'm looking at the nutrition facts just to figure, just to see. And it's like, you know, something's not great for you when like the third ingredient is like acid phosphorate, like monoclasium phosphorate, like natural and artificial flavors, mono and diglycerides, fatty acids, iodized, like so sorbitan monoxide.
Yeah, but
sodium,
I mean,
sodium sterol lactate.
The first three ingredients are sugar, wheat flour, and soybean oil. Chocolate. So it's just like, okay, yeah. Cool. These kiddos love them. I do love that she's starting them young on Spawn, because the one photo of her daughter with the little bites in her backpack, number one, is sort of inspiring, but number two is hilarious.
I mean, something we know about Tori is she's not great at Spawn, so like she's, you know, like she's just not great at Spawn. Like, this woman is not good at this. It's fine.
It's so, these photos are so funny, and the kids are just like, she's like, okay, pose with the little bites, and it's like, it looks like a lineup. The one kid isn't even biting them. The girl with the little bite. I'm sorry. I keep looking at it. It's so funny. And
when she's like
backpack.
Looking on her shoulder, she's like eating the bite. And the little bites are like in her backpack. It's like she's taking them to school. The full bag.
It's so funny. Did you see the other Spawn that she did? For
no.
Mary Poppins Returns, available now in digital and Blu-ray.
Oh, that's a good one.
And it's a photo of her with... It's a photo with her doing what is either like she was doing a craft. She was on a website and doing a craft, but she accidentally switched to another tab for another craft midway and just kept going because her craft is Baby Bell cheeses sliced in half like half moons. And then she shoved straws into them, but kept the red wax on the Baby Bell. And they're just like sitting around like Baby Bell slices.
Why are
with
there
straws? I don't know, but it says the kiddos...
What?
The kiddos and I decided to make DIY treats for family movie night to watch at Mary Poppins Returns, available now on digital and Blu-ray. Check out the step-by-step process to make these fun Mary Poppins Returns-inspired DIY snacks in my stories, and check out the link in my bio, #DIYfamily, #movie night, #ad. But they're just Baby Bell cheeses with straws in them.
How is that? How do you eat Baby Bell with a straw?
I don't know. You still have to take off the wax.
She's so bad at Spawn, when she's, like, given it. They're like, Tori, just write that your kids love these muffins. Don't write anything else. Just write that they love them and they're delicious. And Corey's like, uh-oh, here we go. Like, they're healthy.
Also, don't call them, don't call it movie night when it's clearly the middle of the day in your house.
Wow.
She says, they're supposed to, Lindsay, they're supposed to look like umbrellas.
Oh, like in the movie.
Yeah, and there's a five-part Instagram story that teaches you how to make them, which I'm sure you'll watch after we record. But it's just literally like, slice the Baby Bell, shove in the straw, then we're done. Watch Mary Poppins Returns on digital and Blu-ray. She's terrible at Spawn. God. What a queen.
Oh my God, I love her so much.
She's so reliable. What's next on this hellish list of things? Ah, the Chinese... ad for Centrum, starring Tom Hiddleston as a one-night stand who stayed over and made you breakfast. What is the narrative of this story?
It's perfect because it's literally like the ideal like boyfriend narrative, where it's like he plays your boyfriend, like
the perfect boyfriend.
Like, he's talking to you, you're the camera, and he's like, hello, Speedy, like, this is a big thing also in porn. Like, it's really funny. It's like, you're the viewer is the girlfriend
or the
boyfriend.
So, it's first person. It's POV. So, it's like a POV shot of this person who is revealed as this, like, woman at the end of it. But, like, this person walking down the stairs and goes into her kitchen, and who's there? Tom Hiddleston. What's he making? Some sort of delicious breakfast hash.
Hey. Morning. I finished early, so I thought I'd pop back and make you breakfast. Pepper on top, right? Oh, hi, you'll need a shantan. You look great. Probably be a bit busy for the next few weeks, but I'll make it up to you soon, I promise.
I just love these insane, like, they're not made for us. Like, they're supposed to be wacky. They're not made for, like, an American sensibility. Like, mm-hmm. But when we see these ads with, like, our American stars, we're like, this is crazy. And it's, like, it's not supposed to be, like, we're not supposed to see it, which
I love. Supposed to see it. We're not conditioned to understand these types of ads. These ads blend in the landscape of, you know, the TV stations and wherever where these are being shown naturally. But, like, yeah. On your Twitter feed, they seem, like, crazy. They seem fake. Yeah. But here he is, just with...
I'll put in some of the audio here so you can hear. Like, it's hard for us to even explain,
but
you can
listen. It's very weird. I honestly, I always forget about Tom Hiddleston.
Don't forget your Centrum. Remember when he was, like, a huge deal?
Yeah, and then it just sort of suddenly fizzled. But, yeah. I mean, someone's going to call and be like, actually, he's still huge. I don't care. No, not
like
to me.
Taylor Swift and Taylor Swift and Loki in Thor were like his like peak, and then we forgot about him a little bit,
and then he was in The Night Manager, which I think won some stuff, but who cares, honestly.
Right,
that's him doing a Centrum ad. I love it. It's I gotta say, though, even though celebrities do ads around the world that they never want their, you know, their OG American audiences to see, they're usually not this weird. You know,
they're kind of weird.
But like George Clooney selling Nespresso is not as weird as Tom Hiddleston making you breakfast and having like a POV shot and telling you to take your Centrum. Like, at least Nespresso's Nespresso.
Well, a lot of the ads that you kind of see from abroad, you can tell that a celebrity did like 1 minute of work where they just like look at the camera and say like something, and then they like Photoshop them into like something crazy, and it's like they clearly did not know what the finished product would be, nor do they care. This seems like an actual, like, he knew the script and he's fully involved in like everything acting. Involving this.
Tom Hiddleston, he's one of those people who I imagine gets the he's a pro. Anytime someone works with him, he's a pro. He was in and out, an hour, he's a pro. The only other thing I'll say about this Chinese Tom Hiddleston ad is that the Twitter user who tweeted it and first brought it to our attention, Daisy_104, I think is some sort of Tom Hiddleston, blocked me on Twitter. I don't know. When I clicked the link and Lindsay was like, watch this thing, I couldn't look at it. It was like, you're blocked. So I had to look at it incognito.
So you're an enemy of Tom Hiddleston.
I think so. I must have a precedent for saying shitty things about Tom Hiddleston, which who's surprised? Moving on.
It's time for a change. A new plan needs a new boss. It's time for something more surprising, more British, more Jaguar.
Nicolas Cage, I sort of love this. There's a tinge of darkness here. Not even a tinge, like plenty of darkness.
Why are we talking
here?
About so many drunk people today?
Right.
It's really not great.
Nicolas Cage, we've
brand.
Talked about this woman in the past. Erica Koike.
Well, weren't they together, then they broke up, then they got back together?
They were together, they broke up, then they got back together, then they were photographed. There's like 4 photos of them that exist. They like took a vacation to Puerto Rico together. They were seen in Miami together. She's a makeup artist. We've talked about her in the past, but they got married very suddenly while in Vegas. Then they annulled
it. Which is like
what you do in Vegas.
Don't go to Vegas if you're not planning to get married suddenly. Like, get out of here.
They got suddenly married. Then a couple days later, they got the marriage annulled. And then the new details reported by, I believe, The Blast revealed that in the documents, he claims that the reason they got married was because they were wasted in Vegas. They were intoxicated.
Which is like, what everyone.
That's half of their economy. Like, getting marriage licenses that are annulled 2 days later.
They really aren't supposed to marry you if you're wasted. Like, if they see you wasted, they're really not supposed to, like, give you
the marriage. Yeah, it's just like at bars, you're not supposed to be served if you're visibly drunk. Guess what?
Yeah.
Bars do it all the time. And 24-hour marriage chapels do it all the time.
I know. It's like, how would they make money if they didn't let people get married when they're wasted in Vegas? But anyways, to get out of this marriage, he was like... Because I think also he got married to her and there's like no prenup.
Yeah.
So like,
he was like, yikes.
I think that's the main yikes here. Not that I think Nicolas Cage has like a ton of money that, you know, he really is going to be
Yeah, he's been in all those castles. The other thing, they're also claiming that... I'm not sure if this is The Blast just making stuff up, but they're also... Or just like finding her criminal history. She has had like... problems with the law in the past that they're saying that he didn't know about before they got married, and then he was like, oh well, now she has all this criminal history, so maybe this isn't the right
choice. He knew, but I think that now he's pulling out his lawyers are like, how can we get him out of this? Like, he's like, get me out of this, and they're like, how can we get him out of this? Oh well, we could say that he didn't know he was drunk and also she's a criminal.
Get me out
of
this.
Yeah, and it's like, meanwhile, it's like, I'm sure he knew, and I'm sure that's something he liked about her, to be honest, that she was like also a criminal.
vaguely related to the idea of get me out of this.
This is so dark.
Here's the opposite of get me out of this, which is keep me in this. Keep me in this forever. Keep me in this for 1 billion years. Tom Cruise's daughter, Isabella Cruz, the daughter that he shares along with Connor with Nicole Kidman,
the two kids they adopted when they were together.
She has now been revealed as a, quote, top Scientology recruiter, aka one of the people who she's one of the auditors too. She's an auditor and she's now a recruiter and she's in like their email blasts. Like, this is what Sea Org did for me. This is what Scientology did for me. It was really, really tough. She wrote this long sort of essay that was sent out to some sort of email blast. It was found by obviously Tony Ortega, the very prolific Scientology reporter who used to, he's written books about it. He's like friends with Leah Remini. Obviously his like number one goal in life is to find out what happened to Shelley Miscavige. And he is now revealing that here is Isabella Cruz. She's fully invested in Scientology. She loves it. She wants you to be invested in Scientology too, which comes sort of after the less, explicit, less, very obvious confirmed reports that Connor is in Scientology.
Well, there were photos of him in Clearwater with Tom at Clearwater, like going in and out of the church, which is like pretty much confirming that you're a Scientologist. Confirms
it, but it wasn't like him writing an essay the way Isabella
had had a Isabella in the past had kind of rebelled against it, or just like sort of been surprising. Like my parents, like she, I think she got married.
Connor and Isabella are as tight-lipped about themselves with the media as Tom and Nicole are about the kids. So, like, we don't really know anything about these kids, except, like, Connor Cruz interned at Huffington Post. So it's just, like, we don't know many things about these kids, and the assumption for a long time was that they have a terrible relationship with their parents because of Scientology. But it turns out we were completely wrong. They're both fully involved in Scientology, which I think, at least through me for a little.
Maybe they did have a terrible relationship, and now they don't.
Oh, right, because it's a cult.
That's what happens when you get indoctrinated to a cult.
It's true.
I guess what was surprising to Tony Ortega, who is the one paying attention to all this stuff, is that not only is she a Scientologist, she's now she's a recruiter, which means she can give the test, the e-meter test,
come inside.
And she sent an email, and I gotta say, he printed the email, and I think you could only understand this if you're a Scientologist. It's literally like mumbo jump. Like, you can't, it's like English, but it's like incomprehensible.
Yeah, and she keeps talking about this internship, and they're like, he's like, I don't know what this internship, but it's probably this very particular kind of internship, where you can do a class 4 internship, which means she can now audit someone from objectives through grade 4 on the bridge to total freedom. So it's like,
it's
I don't know. This
English is just so crazy. It's just so crazy.
The acronyms are really creepy. She says thank you to my dad for everything. She doesn't mention Nicole. It says thank you.
Of course
you.
Not.
It says,
why would she mention Nicole?
Thank you to COB. This wouldn't be here without you. COB is chairman of the board, aka David Miscavige. She thanks LRH, who is L. Ron Hubbard. I'd need another few centuries to even find the words.
It's just funny because I remember, and it mentions at the bottom, is like the last time we talked about her, she had that clothing line that was called BKC,
Bella Kidman Cruz.
And now you know she's like, Kidman is out of that equation.
You cut the K out of that.
I gotta say, if my mom like had a new family with her, like her biological children living in Nashville with like her happy life, and I'm like kind of floating out and like, what's going on? Turning to your father who has this like cult with open arms to like let you in and like do whatever you want, essentially, it's like a good option.
Oh, you just have to go through this like sort of miserable Sea Org experience. She says, we all need to do this. It's hard work. It's a lot of effort. It's a few meltdowns and running to the bathroom to have a mini episode, but it's worth everything because you will get through. This is a gift to yourself. It doesn't matter if you are going to be an auditor, if you aren't going to join staff. If you are going to make it as a being for the long run, you need this. That's the truth.
Right. And that's it. We don't really need to go on about this. You already talked about why it's like unusual that this is happening.
It's unusual.
They're very private people.
Speaking of private people, the royals are feuding with the Chumleys. that's not phonetically
spelled. Does anyone know who the Chumleys are? You're like,
I didn't
oh,
until
the
this
Chumleys
weekend.
Again.
I didn't until
the best
this weekend.
Is that Chumley is spelled C-H-O-L-M-O-N-D-E-L-E-Y-S. So if I were to just try to pronounce it, I would say Chumondeles.
And they'd say, excuse me, it's Chumleys.
How is this word pronounced Chumleys? It's
I weird. Don't know. I don't yeah. know. Posh, anyways. Posh, royal adjacent British people. So this woman, this is really.
Do you understand any of this?
I understand all of it. So okay. Remember for a long time, we were thinking that, I mean, we brought it up with Shawnee and Amina months and months ago on yes. Whodat, but for a long time, the narrative being sold to us in the British tabloids was that Kate and William were feuding with Harry and Meghan. And the reason that was happening was because they hated Meghan. Specifically, Kate hated Meghan. They didn't approve of that marriage. And that's why they weren't going to be friends. Meghan was going to have this kid. They weren't going to raise it near the family. They were going to be very separate, whatever. That wasn't even really that interesting to me, that feud, the idea that that was happening. Because I didn't buy it.
It felt not real anyways.
I didn't buy it, and we talked about it at the time, but it was like, if anything, Meghan and Kate would kind of be all each other has. Like, they would have to find a way to like each other. Like, maybe the boys don't like each other, but the Meghan and Kate thing didn't make sense. Whatever. We forgot about it. The news this past week, the past couple weeks, is that the feud was never between, allegedly, Meghan and Kate. The feud was between William and Harry, or William and Kate, and this family, the Chumleys, because apparently William had an affair with these family friends. It was this woman, Rose, who was around William and Kate's age.
Rose Hanbury, aka the Marchioness of Chumley.
Mm-hmm. And
this
her
is
husband,
quote unquote, Kate's rural rival.
Rural rival.
Is what the son is called.
And so her husband, this woman's husband, is this like older British guy. And so it was like, well, Rose is friends with her. Cool. So, I mean, the reason I bring up the age is because it adds a little context to the cheating allegations. So it's like she's cheating on her older, like 20 years older husband with William, allegedly. Kate found out about it and was like, you cannot hang out with them anymore. And so that sort of caused drama because as royals, they don't have many other friends. So it's like noticeable whenever they ice them out. And apparently this has been some open secret for a long time, but it provided a little more information to those months old rumors that the problem was with Meghan. This has nothing to do with Meghan. But
yeah, let's keep Meghan out of this.
Meghan
has her own problems. Get Meghan out of this. Meghan is part of every drama, but she's not part of this like age old, like very, very British scandal.
Oh yeah.
You know?
And
like Meghan is not part of that.
Harry grew up as sort of the wild child, and apparently he's now this truly, genuinely stand-up guy who found out about William's affair and was like, fuck you, like, you're acting like dad. Like, this is like dad's behavior. This is really fucked up. And so now they're not hanging out because Harry doesn't approve of William's behavior. And it's all, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's typical just family drama. It's like, they're messy just like every family. But it has nothing to do with Meghan. Meghan
yeah,
is fine.
Keep. That's all we care about is Meghan.
Next thing you know, Samantha Markle's going to like call up the Daily Mail and be like, it does have something to do with Meghan. And here's what happened. Meghan told me that blah, 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 blah. But yeah, nothing to do with Meghan.
Wait, this is like, their Daily Mail is just like out of control. They have like this guy who's like the royal expert and he's like, actually, like his name's Richard Kay, and he's like, is Kate's royal rivalry just a vicious rumor to damage her? Richard Kay reveals how the Duchess may be the real victim of the aristocratic dinner party gossip, claiming she banished her Marchioness friend from the Turnip Toff set. Oh, they call them the Turnip Toffs. The Turnip Toffs. Because they live near turnips or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well,
this whole thing is fascinating.
It's fascinating, and particularly for the reasons that, again, Nicole pointed out, which is that, like, the British tabloids have stronger, like, laws regarding this sort of, like, rumors and defamation and stuff. So they're being very hesitant in the reporting, and they're dancing around it, and they're getting people like this guy, Richard Kay, to come to the royals' defense. But American tabloids can be like, he cheated.
Like, right.
Hey.
Right.
And so the Daily Mail is like citing a lot of that stuff instead. So it's like they're using the U.S. tabloids. They're hoping that the U.S. tabloids pick up on it so that they can link to that. Like that's.
Right. I feel like in England, it's more about like tradition and this person's friendship and this relationship and this whatever this like person's title. But in America, it's like he cheated. Like, did he cheat? He cheated. Like, yeah. Everyone knows. You know what I mean? And that is funny because we just get to the point of it when like they're kind of trying to bury it beneath mm-hmm. all of these like other things when it's like, well, obviously that's the problem. I mean, that seems to be like the biggest issue here mm-hmm. would be infidelity. Anyways, it's like
Chumley.
It's like this royal stuff. I love it because this is like level three of royals. Like level one, you know about Meghan. Level two, you like know a little bit more about Meghan. Level three, you're level like two, the Chumleys.
Yeah, level two is like you have you question Harry's paternity, you know?
Yeah.
Like level three, level three, God knows what else. This is level four, level five. Like, this is who like knew Chumleys. Who the Chumleys were?
I know.
Who the fuck knew who the Chumleys were?
I didn't, but like, there are so many just royal adjacent spinoff people, like duchesses and, you know, all these other people that live God knows where throughout the country and like are technically like royal, like part of the royal family. Yeah. And they have to like, you know, pay their dues. And Harry and you know, William are like technically related to them or something like yeah. that. I mean, it's crazy to me. They live in an old castle.
That's one of the other things I love about these stories about the royal stuff is because like, yeah, I mean, yeah, this a lot of this is me going into fanfic mode, but it's true about Buckingham Palace, how people talk about how Buckingham Palace is kind of gross and old and that it's kind of falling apart. So because that's true, I sort of feel like the same is true about all their other old castles that are just where they live privately throughout most of the year. So it's just funny that these people are literally the royals. They're some of the most famous people on the planet, and they live in these crumbling old, like, Grey Gardens mansions, and they're just dealing with the one neighbor family that they have, like, a mile away, and it's the Chumleys, and it's like, oh fuck, my husband fucked the Chumley girl, like there goes my social life because they're the only people we know. Meanwhile, Meghan's out here being yelled at by this like Canadian woman who like won't leave our house. It's just really trashy in a hilarious way. It's
no,
like,
that's why it's so it's wonderful. So... And the taxpayers of England pay, like they're paying their cable bill for the Keeping Up with the Kardashians of England, and they're like, we're tuning in. We're forcibly tuning in. We pay for this, you know? We get health insurance and we get this fucking, you know, soap opera that is our birthright.
Which makes Meghan's desire to be a part of this even crazier. Like, it's like, you want to join this? Literally, like, goes up to Big and Little Edie and be like, can I move in? Like, what?
Well, that's why it's even more convincing that she actually loves Harry. That there's actually, like, romance and chemistry there because, like, this other stuff is kind of a little bit bullshit. Yeah.
But it is, it's telling and like a little racist that like the tabloids were like, yeah, this is a Meghan problem. This is all a Meghan problem.
It's always a Meghan problem. Meanwhile, these people are even worse than Meghan could ever be, like with their bullshit.
Because they're like evil.
Come for a visit to Chumley Castle, which we see there. And Chumley Castle stands on a nice little hill overlooking the grounds of Chumley Castle. There's the cricket club. That's the start and finish line of the Chumley Pageant of Power hill climb. And we're actually currently underneath a spreading oak tree.
Lil Nas X, let's move on to him.
Do you want to talk about this? Speaking of racism?
Yeah, speaking of racism, this is...
I'm kind of obsessed with this.
This is bleak, but also it's... Overall, I think it's positive. It's good because he's getting publicity. People are outraged by this. I think this is going to end well for him. He's already like super successful, so like it'll end well for him. Everyone else looks bad and racist in this story. There's this
musician named Lil Nas X. And if you haven't heard of that, fine. Like, obviously. I don't even think I knew his name.
I didn't know his name
until
the
song, but I knew his name. His song is called...
Old Town Road.
Old Town Road, and the only reason you may have heard of it is if you listen to or are aware of the app TikTok, mm-hmm. which I think we have talked about briefly, but not really in depth. It is a combination of Musical.ly, purchased by Vine, but it was purchased by like a Japanese app that was also kind of along the same lines. Anyways, it's kind of a lip sync meets fine comedy platform that is made for teenagers, young people, but is like perfect for like meme making. And a lot of the platform is just teenagers kind of challenging each other to various creative memes. And it's really like, you could either watch it and like be in full despair about the future, or you could be like, wow, like there are some young people who are truly creative hilarious.
If you want very regular compilations of good memes, follow Dodi Stewart on like Instagram and Twitter, because every once in a while like it's, you can tell that she's in like a mood like all of us are in sometimes, where you just like fall into a hole, and she'll like tweet a billion great TikToks or put them on her Instagram stories, and you're like, oh, this is like a meme that's happening now.
What about Vine Mag? Should we shout out the
Vine Mag? Oh yeah, Vine Mag too. Yeah, off-brand heels.
What's off-brand heels
with a Z?
Off-brand heels with a Z at the end. This guy, he occasionally does these compilations called, he calls Vine Mag 69, and it's all these like different memes, but a lot of them are TikToks. Yeah. And but also just like, you could download TikTok. You don't even need to log in. They'll give you like the best TikToks. You can just scroll through them and whatever. I mean,
it can again, be a very intimidating app to open. So it's easier to follow the people who curate them. But
I don't know. I feel like the learning curve is short. It's like it's like once you get that they're all kind of doing connected. The same.
Yeah.
You watch like a 50 of them, and you'll see the same patterns, and you'll start to get what they're doing, and it's genuinely hilarious.
But this particular meme that used Lil Nas X's country song Old Town Road, which is truly a country song, it just has like a lot of rap elements and it has auto tuning, but the video is literally just Red Dead Redemption 2 content. The meme is not that it truly matters for the purpose of the story, but it's like when you It's the difference between drinking water and then yee juice. And so it's like, what happens when you drink water? You're trying
to explain to me, this is like actually a truly...
Me drinking like, water, I'm boring. I'm just myself. But then I drink yee juice and like, I have some sort of transformation. And the transformation is sort of where the joke comes in. And that's what the teens are enjoying.
Well, so there's also, oh God, there's so many layers. It's like, there's also these things called e-girls. An e-girl is like... a stereotype of like an internet like pinup where you have like your hair is you kind of like emo, essentially you're like an e-girl. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that like a lot of these teens are doing this thing where they'll like they think that they're drinking e-girl juice, or they think that they're drinking like some kind of juice, but then it's yee juice, and the yee juice turns them into a cowboy. And so the idea is that like they're listening to this song, and the song, all the songs have a buildup and kind of have a drop. So the buildup to the song is like, I'm drinking this juice and then I turn into a cowboy. And what's interesting about this actually though is like, I feel like the combination of Kacey Musgraves, Red Dead Redemption and all this kind of like mainstreaming cowboy culture has made like teens love cowboy culture.
Yeah, they love it. but the so the problem here, the reason we're talking about him now, is that this song, he writes this song, Old Town Road. It goes like viral on SoundCloud. It goes viral on TikTok. People start wanting to play it on the radio. So they like deal with its distribution. They decide to label it a country song.
Well, he labeled it. So it was originally labeled as country on all the platforms that it was put.
Yeah.
Like he put it there, or whoever put it there, and it was labeled as country. So when it started climbing the country
as a
charts.
Country song. And then Nashville pulls the brakes on it, and they say, this isn't a country song. We're going to take this off the country radio because this is not country. So this guy, if you want the... So they were literally removed from the chart, even though it's doing really, 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 really well. This guy who... what is his name?
Shane Morris, and he used to work in...
Country music. Country label, so he had this viral thread that explains... I won't read the whole thing. We'll probably link to it in the show notes. But basically, he's saying this is absolutely... He's making a case for why this was absolutely just like a racist act. This is no less country than what Maren Morris does. This is no less country than what a lot of Kacey Musgraves does that goes in the charts. And he makes parallels to Ray Charles's like kind of being strong-armed off the country charts in the 60s because he was black. And he's basically saying this is a modern day version of that. But the song is still really popular, and I think this story is kind of going places. Like, this story is being written about like in not niche publications. There's on Rolling Stone, there's on the AP.
It's like, they didn't have problems with like, you know, like the pop chart wasn't like, oh, Taylor Swift is country, she can't come here. Like, she can't come here. That was, they didn't have problems with all these other crossover artists, but like, they have a problem with this. I mean, honestly, what Lil Nas X said, which was really interesting to me, is that he gave an interview and he basically just like, it's both.
It's yeah. both.
So are
it's
so country many songs. Trap.
It's not one. It's not the other. It's both. It should be on.
Which
both.
Is just like which is like the same argument you can make. This, yes. What he's saying, you can say that you can make that argument about Maren Morris and that fucking song "Girl," which I love. Put it on pop radio. Put it on country radio. It's both. It's fine. But this guy yeah. just happens to be like a black kid from Atlanta. So
yeah.
it's like they're like no, you're not Maren. It's like Maren did a song with Zed, excuse me.
It's fascinating because it's like truly an example, like just the epitomization. Is that a word?
I think that's a word. Sure. It's the epitome of.
Yeah, it's the epitome of this culture clash between young and old in that mm-hmm. Billboard is this old institution. We have mm-hmm. rules. We have, you know, standards. We have mm-hmm. this list. We have this the way everything works. It's numbers. It's stats. And then you have TikTok. You have new. You have young people. You have people saying, we're breaking the rules. Like, look at Billie Eilish, who we've spoken about before, but her album came out this week and is a huge hit, like mm-hmm. beyond what I expected, honestly.
Everyone's talking about it.
Like, what's her music? And it's like, well, it's kind of pop. It's inspired by hip hop, but she's not rapping. What is it? And it's like, well, it's like everything. It's nothing. It's new. And I just feel like there is this direct kind of like confrontation between old and new here, especially here with this song that is literally charting and becoming popular in an app that is not part of this Billboard world. It is, you know, fully different, you know? And the song is only like under 2 minutes long. It's a very short song.
Short, yeah.
But the clip that is going viral is even shorter. It's 10 seconds long.
Yeah.
It's crazy, you know?
But yeah, and also, we're probably going to play part of it here, but it's like, it's about, lyrically, if you read the lyrics, it's about, like, cowboys. It's about horses, you know?
Yeah.
It's like someone played Red Dead Redemption 2 and was like, I'm going to write a song about this, because that's kind of what the video is. Point is, this is really interesting, and I think it's only going to get more interesting. Mm-hmm. Lil Nas X.
Wait, breaking news, Carly Rae Jepsen releasing a new album, May 17th.
Oh, that came out?
Dedicated.
We can say that?
Yeah. Dedicated. The dedicated tour, dedicated album, May 17th. Mark your calendar. Carly Rae Jepsen, also breaking all the rules, selling no music. Just kidding. I'm buying it. I'll buy it.
It's called Dedicated.
Where'd you see that? I just got an email. I'm on her mailing list.
Oh.
That's a brag.
Secret's out. So is my album on May 17th. Dedicated. 1 minute
dedicated.
Ago.
Dedicated.
Okay. Good one, Carly. Yes. Yes, girl. Speaking
Anything else?
That's not going to be on country radio. Carly Rae Jepsen fits perfectly into the silo of pop music.
Carly Rae Jepsen, there's no doubt about what she's doing, which is pop music.
What is next? Do we want to talk about Clay Aiken and the View in that book that everyone is quoting from?
I kind of want to wait to talk about this book until I've read it, and I feel like I'm going to read it pretty soon,
yeah,
and then we can talk about it. There's so much juicy stuff coming out of here. It's like actually shocking, but maybe it's not shocking because the View always had like juicy things. So it's like he basically had the, you know, he all he had to do was ask the right questions, and he got the juicy.
Is the book out?
It's out. Well, it's... No, I think
Ladies Who Punch, written by Variety reporter Ramin Sotuda. It comes out tomorrow. Ladies Who Punch comes out tomorrow. We can read it. We can watch, we can talk about it on Friday.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Do we want to talk about Kate Bosworth denying stealing film footage to exploit Native Americans?
No, I just wanted you to read that on the... I just wanted you to read that.
I mean, let me read you the first two paragraphs, which is like
a nightmare. I cannot understand this problem, honestly.
Kate Bosworth and her husband are denying they are holding film footage hostage from a producer and demanding $1 million lawsuit against them be dismissed. The actress and her director husband, Michael Polish, are firing back at producers they worked on with the film. They worked with a film on called Little Brother of War about a Mississippi band of Choctaw Indians and their history of playing competitive stickball, which is similar to lacrosse. Yes, just what I want. Kate Bosworth and Michael Polish making that movie. Cool, 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 cool.
Right, it's, about so it's so confusing.
Imagine literally the state of Connecticut like rafting down the Mississippi River to Mississippi and being like, hi, hello, oh, we'd love to make a film.
Americans.
We'd love to make a film about you. It's me, Connecticut. I feel like I've made that joke on the podcast before, but like Kate Bosworth is literally Connecticut come to life. It's Connecticut sprouted legs.
She is Connecticut. She's Connecticut.
She sprouted legs. She threw on some like... what am I, like Kate Spade and Ann Taylor Loft, and was like, hello.
It's me, Connecticut. Let's move on to Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
What is she up to, Lindsay?
This is the best thing she's up to because it's like Rita in like unexplicable. Like, it's just like, what is happening? But it says, Rita Ora accepts date with Russian, quote, bachelor, but her manager won't set them up. This is on TMZ, and it's so confusing. And basically,
he said he wanted to date her on like a radio show.
I thought this was like a Russian The Bachelor, but it's not. It's just a Russian bachelor.
Why do they have bachelor in quotes?
It's just a Russian bachelor. So this guy who is, I'll get to him in a second. It says, so Rita essentially said, according to this guy, he gave an interview. He said that he asked Rita on a date. He met her at the American Music Awards and she said yes. And now he's waiting on their big date, but he can't get her number, whatever. But what's great about this guy, he's not some random guy. He's this guy named Alex Sparrow. If you watch the show Unreal, if you watch the second season, which I don't actually recommend because it was horrible, he played the Russian kind of suitor on the Unreal.
Oh, that's why they call him a bachelor. Oh, okay.
But it's also, he's just like, but it's also weird. He is a bachelor.
Yeah.
He's a single man. So
he's a bachelor who played a bachelor on the show Unreal.
Exactly. And he won X Factor or he was on X Factor.
He's just like a hunk.
But the best part is he literally was in Eurovision in 2011.
Do you feel my heartbeat, Euro? I choose my words like wise men do. And tonight, I'll get you right. I roll my world like great men do, and I fight for mine, and you.
He represented Russia in Eurovision with a song called Get You, and he came in 16th place.
Good job. We speaking
77
of,
points.
Speaking of Eurovision, we have to listen to all the songs and talk about them on like a special episode of the show.
Yeah, we will definitely do that. Eurovision is in May. I'm going to be on the Eurovision podcast too, so I'll start doing
research. I love that we got to meet them at the Chicago show. That was great.
So I'm going to be on their podcast again, but also I'll talk about when I do that, I'll tell you guys and you can go listen, and then we'll do our own Eurovision episode, and then we'll talk. We're obviously going to watch the show in May. But so he's really a double threat. And actually, if he dates Rita, he's a triple threat. Because dating Rita is also a threat. And the Daily Star reported that Rita Ora plans to quit social media after relentless online bullying. Clearly, they've never met Rita. They've never read anything about Rita because Rita is not going to be quitting social media, I don't think. I think she just said, I've been called everything under the sun. It happens every day online towards lots of people. Stuff that people don't say in real life. She wants to do a digital detox, and it depends on how she's feeling. I think she's just delete Twitter from her phone.
She says, I probably do that on holiday so I can relax more. It's like, Rita, all you do on holiday is take photos of yourself and your bikini body.
It's true. So I don't understand how Rita Ora is going to be quitting any social media anytime soon.
If anything, she's inspiring. Her ability to avoid the haters, to ignore the haters is inspiring. Rita doesn't clap back. Rita doesn't, like, do shit. Rita just, like, lives her life and deals with it. Deals with all the noise.
Yeah. Rita is so good at self-promo. She's so good at using social media. I know that social media is a negative place, but I don't feel like Rita is, like, she probably sees that and is like, oh, but I don't think she's as affected or as, like, the pros outweigh the cons for Rita,
yeah.
Especially.
And, okay, yeah, we're done with Rita, but I just want to read two headlines. We talk about Daily Mail headlines way too often, but we don't talk about Daily Star headlines. Here are two. Gemma Collins offers to help Theresa May out on boring Brexit negotiations. And then boob overload. Chloe Ferry ditches bra for brazen expose and crop top made for Barbie. Boob overload is like absolutely hilarious.
I mean, British people know how to make tabloids. That's like literally what they're good at.
Boob overload.
Boob overload. Who is that woman? I don't even know.
But look, I mean, to be fair, I'm going to send you this photo. Have you ever seen something?
Are her boobs?
Have you ever seen boobs more overloaded?
Oh,
that's boob overload.
How do those boobs, how do your boobs look like? How do boobs look
like that? Find me a photo that better represents the phrase boob overload, and I will give you $1 million. That's boob overload. Underboob. Chloe flaunted her underboob in the snap. Busty babe. Chloe constantly sizzles in her Insta snaps.
Stop.
Showing off the dazzling bikini. She had a whopping 174,000 likes at the time of publication.
Whopping.
Busty babe.
Okay.
We sorry. One more thing. I love when you know. I love when journalists quote Instagram captions. Fans couldn't help but fawn over the busty babe. With one user writing, "Your body is insane." Another added, "Can I just have those boobs?" A third fan chirped, "So sexy." Can I? Anyway, this woman is in Geordie Shore. We're done. Everyone, thank you for listening. Call 619 who them if you have any questions, comments, commentary about Chloe Ferry's boob overload. What else? Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly. New episode coming out on Friday for the Patreons. And we will see you on Friday with Who's There. Oh, yeah. Come to our Nashville show. It's on May 31st. You can buy tickets at whoweekly.us/live.
We'll also be there all weekend at the PodX conference.
Yeah, so we'll hang out with you. Goodbye. We'll see you in Nashville. Yeah. Bye.
You will drain it.
Mia. Yo, they wanna know.
Hey.
Mia.
Hey.
Mia.
Come on.
Hey.
I want to be famous.